You were shirt something, at least as Cheddar or something. Now, chapter 17 of Nectar Devotion is the third wave on the eastern side. On the eastern side of the ocean. It is Bhava Bhakti. There are four waves. Samanya Bhakti, general description of devotional service. Sadhana Bhakti, devotional service and practice. And that was chapters 6 through 16, which included Rag Bhakti. It was basically Rag Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti. Then 17 and 18 are Bhava Bhakti, ecstatic devotional service. And the last chapter, 19, is Prema Bhakti, devotional service and love of God. This chapter is based, or rather, in this chapter, Rupa Goswami has defined what is Bhava Bhakti. First we'll read Prabhupada's first paragraph, and then we'll talk about Rupa Goswami's definition of Bhava Bhakti. By the process of executing regulated devotional service, one is actually elevated onto the transcendental stage, beyond the material modes of nature. At that time, one's heart becomes illuminated like the sun, various systems, and there is no possibility of its being covered by any kind of cloud. Similarly, when a devotee is purified like the sun, from his pure heart, there is a diffusion of ecstatic love, which is more glorious than the sunshine. Only at that time is the attachment to Krishna perfect. Spontaneously, the devotee becomes eager to serve the Lord in his ecstatic love. At this stage, the devotee is on the platform of Uttama Adhikari, perfect devotion. Such a devotee has no agitation for material affections and is interested only in the service of Radha and Krishna. So, there are two ways of dividing up bhakti. One is very simply sadaka and siddha, one who is practicing and one is perfect. And the other way is how the Nectar Devotion or Rupa Goswami has divided it up here, and that is sadaka or practitioner, sadhana bhakti, and then bhava bhakta, and then prema bhakta. So these two, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, they are not in the category of sadhana. They are both siddha bhakti. They are both perfect. When one has attained the stage of bhava, his spiritual life is considered perfect. It is already perfect. He has attained that stage of perfection. So therefore, Prabhupada explained that this is Uttama Adhikara. Rupa Goswami has defined Bhava Bhakti as a very famous verse. As Rupa Goswami has defined Sadhana Bhakti with that verse, Kriti Sadhya Bhavet Sadhya Bhav Sanatid Anatid Nitya Bhi. Nitya Siddhasya Bhavasya Prakatam Vidhi Sadhyata. As he has defined sadhana bhakti and its purpose, similarly, Rupa Goswami has defined bhava bhakti. It is Sudha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryangsa Samyabhak. Now this is, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, probably in Madhya 22, but I'm not exactly sure. Ruchi Bir Chitta Mazrinya Krita Do Bhava Uchite. This is called Bhava. Krita Do Bhava Uchite. So there are some characteristics that are mentioned here that Prabhupada has translated into that first paragraph. Sudha Sattva Visheshatma. This means that that one's heart is completely pure above the impurities of the material world. It is past anartha nivritti. There are no particular types of anarthas in the heart, past nishta and other anarthas have been dissipated. It is past ruchi when one has a taste, past ashakti where one has attachment. And one's heart is completely purified. And not only is it completely purified, but the Lord's own Surup Shakti, his own internal energy, has entered within the heart. And his heart is full of Visuddha Sattva, a different type of sattva. A sattva that is completely transcendental, having nothing to do with the modes of material nature. Suddha Sattva Visesatma. So this is the primary characteristic of Bhava Bhakti, that one's heart is illuminated by the Suddha Sattva potency of the Lord. Then, Prema Suryangsa Samyavak. This means, this line explains the relationship between bhava and prema. Bhava is like a sun ray of prema. Or bhava is sometimes called premankur. It means the seedling of prema. In other words, as the sun has its kana, or sun ray, and the sun ray is the of the same quality, but it is smaller. Similarly, and as the seedling, the ankur will grow into the full-fledged plant. Similarly, bhava is a bit of prema, but it will mature into prema, because it is already on the perfection stage. That is prema suryangsa samyabhak. And then the secondary characteristics, ruchi bir chitta mazrinya. That means, mazrin means the heart has become very, very soft. And therefore, the result of that is two things, that ruchi bi, that one gets all types of varieties of tastes, transcendental tastes from the platform of bhava, and therefore one experiences bhava or ecstasy, because the heart is so soft. It has been purified, completely purified, and in addition, Krishna's energy, Surup Shakti, has entered in. Now, such a devotee who has no agitation for material affection, and he is interested only in the service of Radha and Krishna. Now, next, in the next paragraph, it's difficult to understand directly. Who's read this chapter carefully? Raise your hand if you've read it carefully. Okay. So see what happens when there's no homework, right? Huh? See what happens when there's no homework and there's no test on it. But of course, we use the motivating forces of homework and tests, but what's the real reason we're here? To learn the science of Krishna consciousness. So, those who aren't interested in Bhava Bhakti, they don't have to read. And especially the chapter on Prema Bhakti, you don't have that section, you don't have to read that either. You don't want to. So next, in this paragraph, is a little difficult to understand. I'm going to explain the first half. The Rupa Goswami is giving an analysis of Bhakti in general, that it's divided into two parts. One part is called Chesta Rupa, and the other part is called Bhava Rupa. Chesta. Chesta, endeavor, like that. Chesta Rupa, or Bhava Rupa. Now, Chesta Rupa means, Prabhupada defines it as, he calls it executive. Now, this executive or Chesta, Chesta generally means endeavors or activities. This is divided into two parts, Sadhana Rupa and Phala Rupa. Sadhana Rupa, these are the different activities, or that which is executed. One is Sadhana Rupa, and there are two parts of Sadhana Rupa, and they are Vaidhi and Rag. Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. These are Sadhana Rupa under Chesta Rupa, or the executive function of Bhakti. So in other words, under the different executions of Bhakti, the first part is the sadhana, and we already know that there are two parts of that, and practically what we've done for the last 5 weeks is discuss this sadhana rupa, the two, mostly the Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. And then, if one performs Vaidhi bhakti or Raganuga bhakti properly, and he attains the mercy of Krishna or his devotees, and he's performing the activities properly, then the phala rupa comes, which means the fruit or the effect. The effect of sadhana rupa is phala rupa, or basically the effect is bhava bhakti itself, or and the effect of that is the anubhavas, which will be explained later. The resultant activities of ecstasy. The resultant manifestation of ecstasy. So this, the anubhavas of Chesta Rupa, this is all technical, but if you don't understand this, you'll never understand that paragraph. So those, the result of the sadhana is the bhava bhakti, and the result of the bhava bhakti is the manifestations of ecstasy known as anubhava. So this was under Chesta Rupa. And secondly, there is bhava rupa. And bhava rupa is divided into two parts, sthayi bhava rupa and sanchari bhava rupa. So sthayi bhava rupa and sanchari bhava rupa, or Vyabhachari Bhava Rupa, will be discussed later in the next section.
What is divided into these two parts? Phala Rupa.
Bhava Rupa. So there's Chesta Rupa and Bhava Rupa. Bhava Rupa is the effect. There's the executive, and then there's the effective. It is the Anubhava is the effect that come after one is on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, his Sthayi Bhava is there. And then when there is some stimulation, then to the sthayi bhavas, then the results are sattvika bhavas or anubhavas. The resultant ecstasy, the vibhava, which is the stimulation. This is all the science of rasa, which is described in the southern side of the ocean. So Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada, they don't discuss this in any detail right now, but it is a way of analyzing rasa and devotional service. Prabhupada explains in the second half of the second paragraph, this effective portion of devotional service is called bhava, or ecstasy. In this connection, there's a statement in the tantras that ecstasy is the first symptom of pure love for the personality of Godhead. And in that stage, one is sometimes found shedding tears or shivering. Not always are these symptoms manifest, but occasionally. That is bhava bhakti. They are occasionally manifest. When King Ambarish was put into difficulty by Durvas, he began to think of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus there were some changes in his body, and tears were falling from his eyes. These symptoms are activities of ecstasy. So that is bhava bhakti. Now, what's going to happen in the remainder of this chapter, after defining what Bhava Bhakti is, and we'll talk more about that in a few moments, and that it is ecstatic devotional service. Next, Prabhupada is going to explain the different methods of attaining the platform of Bhava Bhakti. And they are basically two: constant association with pure devotees, or another way of looking at that is fixedness in the spiritual practices, constantly engaged in the spiritual practices, or constant association with devotees. And also, the second way is the mercy of the Lord or the Lord's devotees, so either sadhana siddha or kripa siddha. And that's basically the rest of the chapter. Any questions up to this point? Yeah.
What is the difference between this phala-rupa and bhava-rupa?
Phala-rupa.
Phala-rupa.
Phala-rupa means the effects, the anubhavas. This is how the acharyas have explained it. It means the anubhavas, the effect.
But bhava-rupa is not the effect of...
The effect, the bhava-rupa isn't a visible effect. And anubhavas are visible.
Still, I don't understand the difference.
That's
because sadhana rupa leads to phala rupa.
And the executive, when one executes these, one has, it's also bhava rupa.
That means that this is such like this sadhana rupa, phala rupa, and bhava rupa?
You mean like this, this, this? No, there are two parts, chesta rupa and bhava rupa. Chesta rupa is divided into two parts itself, sadhana and phala, the effect. Sadhana and the effect. That basically means sadhana and siddha. That's chesta rupa. And then bhava rupa itself means sthayi bhava and the sansari bhavas. No, it's very, of course, we don't understand.
Yes.
I wouldn't worry about it.
This chesta rupa, if you ask to baby, then it will bring you to Ras. This is the result.
Those both are the two categories of sadhana rupa. And the result of that, of either of those, is bhava.
In describing one's progression in spiritual life, what is Rupa Goswami comments on going from sadhana then straight to bhava and to prayer, which seems to be like right at the extremes of the version.
His Adoshra Dha verse is also in there, although we actually didn't speak about that. I realized that.
I'm going to say it's like maybe something that's sort of in between, like sort of halfway between prana and sadhana.
So I don't follow your question.
I was just thinking, like, you know, why he discussed prana and bhava, which is sort of right on the other spectrum of devotion service, so practicing sadhana.
So you're more interested in the sadhana bhakti, he's more interested in the prema bhakti. The book isn't only for you, it's the science of devotional service. And if you look at the number of pages in the book, how many are devoted to the sadhana level, not anywhere near, there's 100, up to here, so it's 130 pages on sadhana. And twice as much, and the remainder of the book more than twice as much, or just twice as much. So for us, it seems that's our interest in one sense. Yeah.
I understand that you explained before that this word adhikari means that one is coming.
Qualification.
Yeah. Yeah, that has qualification, and I have understanding that there's difference between Uttama Adhikari and Uttama Bhagavata.
Yeah, but Prabhupada uses the terms interchangeably often. As here. In the chapter of eligibility for devotional service, those terms Uttama Adhikari means, etc., means eligibility like that. But here it means what we
call Bhagavata.
Prabhupada used it completely interchangeably. Any other questions at this point?
It says that the devotees who attend the platform of Bhava, they pass the platform of Anarhamiriti. Does it mean that?
Of course.
Does it mean that sadhana bhaktas, so you cannot experience any anubhavas?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
It's not
possible. Anubhavas, first the sthayibhava has to be there, but this is explained later.
So many times I heard from different devotees about their experiences from Sankirtan or...
But that's not...
Kirtan.
That's something nice, it's something wonderful, it's Krishna's mercy. But it's not an anubhava. Anubhava is out of this world. It has nothing to do with this world at all. See, until the sthayibhava is there, until one is on the platform of bhava, bhakti, there is no question of ecstasy on this level. And we already heard that this type of bhakti, bhava bhakti's characteristic is what? What are the two characteristics?
Bhava. No agitation, and the present pleasant.
No, the ones that we learned right in the beginning when we studied the six characteristics of pure devotional service. There are two characteristics of bhava bhakti in addition to the two that come from sadhana bhakti. Sudolava and moksha lagutati. So sudolava means very rare. So this platform that we're talking about now is not ordinary. It is very rare. Now, any other questions?
Understand, if one attends Bhava, he also continues practice, that he continues sadhana or not?
No. Sometimes the Bhava Bhaktis are also called sadhakas. But they're not sadhakas like those devotees who are before Bhava Bhakti. They are called sadhakas because they are practicing to attain the platform of prema. But their result is more or less guaranteed. Because this is already the Sinta platform, the perfect platform.
But I mean, they practice that how you learn about this 64 angas.
No, that has to do with sadhana bhakti.
But they don't practice this?
They don't have to practice, really. But they hear and chant. This is their practice. But that's the basis of sadhana. But they're completely spontaneously attracted. The difference between ruchi and ashakti is that in ruchi your mind wanders away from Krishna, but you have a taste, so you bring it back to Krishna. And in ashakti, your mind is attracted to Krishna naturally. Sometimes it wanders away, but it will naturally wander back because that's your attachment. And you cannot, in ashakti, you cannot live a moment without Krishna. And that's nothing compared to Bhava Bhakti. That is before Krishna has given you his full mercy, basically. Yeah. So there is some practice, because it is called sadhaka, and the example that will be given of the sadhaka, a bhava bhakti sadhaka, is Vilamanga Thakur. But it is not at all like the practices. It's just hearing and chanting. It's very internal.
I know this is maybe difficult, but could you explain something? Because I don't completely understand what is the difference between bhava bhakti, which one can attain by following vaiti bhakti, and when one attains for bhava, you know, because I can also understand that it is bhava vaiti and bhava raganuga or not.
Not bhava raganuga. But raganuga is sadhana. But okay, one is written the rag marg. Okay, yes. What I'm going to do is read some quotes now from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now they are very high level quotes, but we're dealing with high level subject matter. What to do? This will make it clearer or more confusing. I'm not sure, but I'll read them anyway. Not for me. Not right now. You mean about Chesta Rupa, this and that?
Yeah.
No. I can't do that right now. Huh?
You can dictate it.
Well, I already dictated it, so you can write it. But okay, after the quotes, if there's time. Anyway, you have so much free time. I'll show you the little chart I made. But this is, it's not something that I have deep knowledge of, quite frankly. But listen to these quotes, they're very interesting. What I'll do is I'll read the quote and then I'll tell you where it is. So therefore, if you're interested, you can write down the reference. One should try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. The price of such a ticket is one's intense desire for it, which is not easily awakened, even if one performs pious activities for thousands of births, continuously. All mundane relationships are sure to be broken in the course of time, but once one establishes a relationship with the personality of Godhead in a particular rasa, it is never to be broken, even after the annihilation of the material world. So part of it is a translation of that verse that spoken in the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Bhakti Rasita Bhavita Mati. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Adi 157, purport. They're all from the purports. Everywhere in the world, people worship me, this is Krishna speaking, according to the scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. Adi Lila 3:15, that's the verse. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. Purport. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literature and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship Him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Vrajabhumi. One cannot understand the dealings of the Lord in Vrindavan simply by executing the ritualistic regulative principles mentioned in the scriptures. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter into personal dealings with Him. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering a personal loving affairs with the Lord. To teach the principles of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. That's from Adi Lila 3, text 16. Verse and purport. Now, this doesn't at all mean that we shouldn't appreciate the glories of the Lord. This is talking about very advanced devotion. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. That's Adi 3, text 18. My plenary portion can establish the principles of religion for each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Vraja. Adi 3:26. The Lord's desire to appear was born of two reasons. He wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Purport. The real purpose of Lord Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes at Brajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limits of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entities and the Supreme Lord. These reciprocal exchanges of mellows are called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord in transcendental rapture. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known to all the conditioned souls that he is more attracted by Raga Bhakti than Vaidhi Bhakti, or devotional service under scheduled regulations. It is said in the Vedas, Raso Vaisa, the Absolute Truth is the reservoir for all kinds of reciprocal exchanges for loving sentiments. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us the privilege of Raga Bhakti. Thus he appeared as his own internal energy. So don't think this is cheap though. This is Mahaprabhu's desire. But not that someone can just say, oh, it's his desire, therefore I'll act like this, and therefore I'll be this. Nothing like that at all. One has to become very completely purified of heart. Yes.
There's one statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita where say that Lord wants to distribute his love of God to
anyone, everyone, whether qualified or not qualified. So yeah. When he was traveling, the internal energy, when he was touring South India, the internal energy acted completely independently. And it was bestowing love of Godhead everywhere. But we should understand that that is exactly what's happening. That who is qualified? When you hear what the actual qualifications, you read what the activities of the six Goswamis were, the austerities they performed, the learning that they had. When we understand what the actual qualifications of being an exalted Vaishnava are, we don't have any qualifications. But yet, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and the entire disciplic succession going back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are reaping the good fortune of his freely distributing. So practically speaking, if we avoid offenses, it's just a matter of time. He has caught us in his net. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has caught us in his net despite our disqualification. And it is just a matter of time. But that doesn't mean that someone who is disqualified, unqualified, of course, except by Kripa Siddha, as is described, will be described in this chapter. It's not that one like that. It's a process. These weren't the course I actually wanted to read. They're nice though, but we're running out of a little bit of time. When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by His grace in the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Love of God is another epithet of the pleasure potency of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and His devotees is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. The Ladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such a potency upon His pure devotees. So when one is a pure devotee on the platform of a Shakti, and he can't live a moment without Krishna, and he's begging continuously and crying for Krishna's mercy, then if the Lord desires, He gives him His mercy through, generally speaking, through his devotee. And that mercy isn't just general, but it is a descent of Ladini, Shakti, and Sambit into the heart of the devotee by the mercy of the Vaishnava or by the mercy of the Lord. That was from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 4, 60, text 60, the purport. When the Sambit factor of cognition is enlightened by the Ladini potency of the same internal energy, they work together, and only thus can one can attain knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The essence of Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is bhava, emotion. And the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhava, purport. That was from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Only when the Ladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, does the living being become a pure lover of God. But the same Ladini Shakti is adulterated by the external material energy and emanates from the living being. It does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy. Anyway, the point of me reading these, there are some very interesting things written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the point is, I wanted to explain exactly what this Bhava Bhakti is. It is when, by the Lord's mercy and the mercy, there's two ways that one can attain this platform of Bhava Bhakti. One is by strictness and sadhana practices, and the other is by mercy. And there's two kinds of mercy, either by the Lord or the Lord's devotee. And Prabhupada, in the Nectar Devotion, he equates that first way of strictness in sadhana practices with constant association with pure devotees. Did you notice that? These two Prabhupada equates as one. Because if one is fixed and constantly associating with pure devotees, the only thing that they do is hear and chant about Krishna and serve Krishna. So naturally, the only thing that the sadhaka will do is hear and chant about Krishna, if he constantly associates. And we should understand that this constant association can be done in two ways, vapu and vani. So the rest of the chapter is basically a description of these different ways that one can attain this bhava platform or attain the mercy of Krishna in the form of the descent of Ladini and Sambit Shakti, the Lord's internal energy within the heart of a living entity. And that is bhava bhakti. Okay, are there any questions? And then we'll continue reading. But one's heart has to be purified. So someone could say, as you were pointing out, that if there's mercy, what is the need of practice? You weren't pointing it out directly. But and sometimes the devotees think, I'll just go and work very, 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 very hard, and then I'll get Krishna's mercy. And therefore I won't have to worry. But this isn't exactly our philosophy, actually. Our philosophy is we have to become purified. And Prabhupada explains this when he explains his example about the university degree, the honorary university degree. So yes, some people get honorary university degrees. But how do most people get their university degrees? They study and they study and they study and they study and they study. And it is not that they go and clean the offices of the professors and hope that the professors are going to be merciful to him and give him an honorary degree. No. They do the proper work that they're supposed to do. And therefore, if one does the practices, if one properly practices sadhana bhakti, then that's how one gets the mercy. It is not that one can avoid sadhana, just work, 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 and keep let it, his consciousness isn't good. He doesn't study, he doesn't read, he doesn't know the philosophy. But he thinks, I'm just going to work and Krishna's going to appreciate my work and I'm going to get mercy and go back to God in that way. Forget it. One has to become purified because Krishna does not need our work. What does he want? Patram pushpam palam doyam. A leaf, a fruit, a flower, if it is given with devotion. So we must purify our heart. And must become rid ourselves of the lower modes of material nature. Otherwise, actually speaking, it will never happen. The heart has to become purified. The container has to be purified before it can hold the Suda Sattva Vasheshatma, Premamsa, Suraya. Is that point clear? Don't think like this, even though many devotees think like this. Prabhupada did not recommend we sit back and work hard and hope for Kripa Shakti. Kripa will become purified like that, no. But we should understand that when we're given mercy, actually it is never actually sadhana that brings us to the platform of bhava. It is never actually sadhana. It's always mercy. We only advance actually by mercy, the mercy of the association. But specifically to come to the platform of bhava, one needs the mercy of the Vaishnavas, of exalted Vaishnavas.
But can we work?
Yes, not that we shouldn't work. Don't get me wrong, not that we shouldn't work at all. But we should engage in the full process of hearing, chanting, etc. And the full process, not just the work part. We have to work. To give up work prematurely, before one's heart is purified and in the mode of goodness, you've already learned this in the Bhagavad Gita, means death, spiritual death. So we must work, but we should understand the result of that work is going to be purification of the heart. Tado rajas tamo bhava kama lobhyas chaye. That the heart must be purified of the lower modes of material nature. If we're always angry, if we're always passionate, always running, if our motives are all mixed, that's what it means to be in rajatama. Right? It means your motives are going to be mixed, for sure. It is not that when we're in Rajatama, we're going to be serving Krishna out of the desire to please Him. It will be mixed. Because that is the nature of Rajatama. This was the first question I ever asked Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue. I asked him, are devotees transcendental? Prabhupada in a lecture, he said that the devotees were in the mode of goodness. And I had always heard that the devotees are transcendental. So I asked him, are the devotees transcendental or are the devotees in the mode of goodness? I thought they were transcendental. And he said, yes, but they generally act in the mode of goodness. If you're not in the mode of goodness, you try and generally act in the mode of goodness. You cannot. You either go to sleep or go and beat somebody up. Or you gotta go and, you know that feeling, I gotta go and do something, you know. You can't just sit and chant and read and things like that. So the purpose of all these activities in the service of Guru and Gauranga are to elevate us. And the more we are elevated, free from the lower modes of material nature, the more that we have the capacity to understand Krishna consciousness and act on the Krishna conscious platform. You have the Bhagavad Gita overview book? Everyone, that you were given that?
Yeah.
Who has anyone read, there's an essay I wrote at the end called Elevation to Goodness. Who has read that? You've read that. You should read it. It explains it clearly. You have another question for me? Yeah.
But someone has religious inclination to work for Krishna only, but due to his disqualification or something like that, he is not so much inclination to his body and
different
aspects of devotion.
Yeah.
Can he be purified by that?
Yes, of course, you can be purified, but because you can be purified, it doesn't mean that you're pure. It means he has to be purified. Now, why don't we preach like this all the time? It's because sometimes devotees, if they think that they're on this platform, they get very discouraged. They would rather think that I'm a very advanced devotee. And I'm already purified. But we see the Maha Mantra is so powerful that it purifies. And devotees gradually do become purified of the lower modes of material nature if they surrender to the process. And when we are pure, and not only pure, pure means basically nishta. Means that anartha's abhadrani is reduced almost to nil. And at that point then ruchi can come. Then we could have a taste. A real, real taste. Clear or not clear? This is straight Bhagavad Gita. Actually. First six chapters. Any other questions? So this is a very exalted consciousness. It cannot, we can all sit down and say, I'm going to read now. I'm going to rid myself of anarthas. We can do that. We can, by the strength of our intelligence even, and our determination, we can do so many things. But one of them is not get to the platform of Baba. That is completely outside of our hands. It only happens by mercy. We are completely dependent on Krishna's mercy, actually in the mercy of His devotees, to become perfect. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya aprasada nagati kitopi. There is nothing we can do on our own. Krishna can bestow it upon us, but there is nothing we can do on our own to force Him. Therefore, we say that sadhana is not a cause of bhava, in one sense. It means there is no sadhana that one can do that can force Krishna's mercy to descend. But, if we have the right consciousness and heart, we can attract Krishna to send His mercy. We cannot, it is not the sadhana that brings one to the state of bhava, it is Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And then on this platform, one is actually a Vaishnava. Baba. Then one is a Vaishnava.
So we're making all this purification, we're doing that now, and mercy is independent.
Bhakti's cause is bhakti. It is completely independent. Bhakti is independent. We're getting so much mercy. And we are in touch with the internal energy of the Lord. That is bhakti. That is one of the vrittis, energies of bhakti. All the whole sadhana process, we've explained this before. This is Krishna's internal energy. But we're trying to get purified and get the taste. The reason why Krishna doesn't bestow, there's a few reasons explained. Bhava Bhakti easily is because by it he is purchased. It is not cheap, it is so powerful. And unless one, we explained this when we were discussing Sadulava, that unless one has a deep taste and is performing his sadhana with relish, taste ruchi. Krishna is not attracted to give, to bestow this. It is not a cheap thing. This bhava is not cheap. Not, oh, I'd like to be a bhava bhakti. It sounds really good. It's perfect. Yes. But it is sudolabha. Know that it is sudolabha. Know that we will have to shed many a tear. Takes lifetimes of lifetimes. Sometimes we describe it like that, and then all the devotees go, oh no, I was hoping when by the time I was 35. But my Prabhupada often said, in this life, we can do it. We can do it. But it is not cheap, and it is not something you just by memorizing the difference between Chesta Rupa and Bhava Rupa and these things. It is not a product of the intelligence. Bhagavad Gita is written on that platform. It is meant for intelligent people. And by the strength of intelligence, you can order your life around the Bhagavad Gita. Evam bude param budva samstabhyatmatmanatmana jahi shatram mahabaho kamarupa dirashtanam. By the higher self, by the strength of intelligence, we can control our lower natures. That is Bhagavad Gita. But this is not like that. Bhava Bhakti is not like that. We have to actually give up our intelligence practically. Not give up our intelligence, but we have to give up on this stage dependence on our intelligence and only be fully immersed in depending on Krishna and the devotees and their mercy. Because that intelligence also becomes a source of pride. And if we're proud, how can we depend? So it's very, very tricky. Actually, to different devotees, you have to preach on different levels. Because if we talk about the misgivings of intelligence now, then everyone says, well, why should I bother studying? But actually, if we don't study, we won't know the philosophy and we won't make advancement. If we don't study this Krishna conscious knowledge. Question.
So would you please reveal to us some of the essences of the Lord who embody this bhakti and whom we can worship?
No. We should start with our Guru Maharaj and then straight back. If we don't follow the instructions of our Guru Maharaj, then no one will accept our worship. We cannot jump over. No one will accept our prayers.
This test for hearing and judging.
Very good. How to get it?
Prabhupada says in the first kandama, it comes in as a result of service. But you were explaining how it comes in as a result of mercy as well. So is it the service that attracts the mercy?
That is the proper result of all the work. You know the verse? Shushu sho shaladanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevaya vipro punya tirtana sevana. Means as a result, this taste of hearing and chanting comes from serving the great devotees. So if we, again, we could dissect it and say, well, I'm going to serve you, so therefore I'll get my taste and try to do business. But it's... the process is very simple. Although Guru Parasraya, we follow very, very simply. We take shelter of our spiritual master, beg him for his mercy. Follow all the processes, learn the science. Surrender. We have to see the limitations of our intelligence. That we have to see right in the beginning. We have to, like Arjuna, we have to understand that the result of our intelligence and our own endeavors, like Arjuna's in the first and the beginning of the second chapter, what was it? Simply confusion. And therefore he surrenders.
Like in Prabhupada, I changed the chanting from 64 hours to 16 hours. Krishna accepted it when this Prabhupada was authorized to chant. So, like when this Krishna master bestows Krishna on the disciple, this Krishna guides the desire of this Krishna master.
The key of the spiritual master's qualification is that he knows how to evoke the mercy of his Guru Maharaj and the disciplic succession on the devotee. So sometimes the question, we don't talk about it directly, maybe, but we talked about it one time. But it's, the need for the spiritual master to be on this platform, right? On the Uttama platform, like that. And someone asked that question at some point. And I said that the disciple will naturally see the spiritual master on that platform because the mercy of the disciplic succession is coming to him through his Guru Maharaj. So, his qualification as Prabhupada, in one of the last conversations with Prabhupada before he left this world, Prabhupada said that the qualification, he who knows his spiritual master and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can be spiritual master. So if one spiritual master prays to Prabhupada, look how sincere this boy is, Prabhupada. Look how he's working so hard. He's working so hard to please you. I am just your servant. And my only qualification is I know what will please you because you have trained me in that way. So I know you. So he's working so hard. I have no authority on my own, but because I am yours, he's accepted me and listening to my every word. So therefore, look how sincere he is. Because I am your servant, he is surrendering to me. So you please bestow your mercy on him. And then, that devotee, when he is pure, when his heart can actually hold that mercy, then it will come. A container must be... if your container is a leaf cup and you're going to hold molten gold in that, well, you need a special container. And that container is the pure heart. So we haven't finished the rest of the chapter, but the rest is quite clear, and they're all basically, the rest of the chapter is all examples of how this mercy is obtained, the platform of Bhava Bhakti is attained by spiritual practices, which means association. Prabhupada explains it as basically as association. And because when one is associating with devotees all the time, then one is engaged always in devotional service all the time, because the pure devotee's business is only devotional service. And then after that, on page 133 near the bottom, however, it is found that without undergoing any devotional process, all of a sudden one develops devotion for Lord Krishna. This sudden development of devotional attitude in a person must be understood as the special mercy of Krishna's devotees. Thus, this apparently accidental development of ecstatic feelings through the causeless mercy of Krishna can be divided into three groups: Vachika, Darshanam, Dhan, and Harda. It means just by the well-wishing words, by the glance, and by the his sincere heart prayers, felt prayers and well wishes. So all the rest of the quotes here are examples of those three that I mentioned. By glancing, the Naradiya Purana is speaking, then the Skanda Purana one is glancing, heartfelt wishes. Here is heartfelt wishes. As far as heartfelt wishes are concerned, there's a statement in the Sukha Samhita where Narada tells Sri Vyasadeva, "You have a son who is the greatest devotee." The habit of what I do, especially when preparing for courses, I will write in the book. I'm not sure if this is a good thing. Who does that? Who writes in the book? Yeah, not so many. I'm not sure if it's good. I have a feeling it's not so good. But what to do? I can't tell you not to do it because I'm doing it. There's that story that Prabhupada tells of how some lady goes to Mahatma Gandhi. You know that story? And says, "You have to tell my son to stop eating sweets. He's eating sweets all the time." So Mahatma Gandhi says, "You want me to tell your son to stop eating sweets? Yes, you please do this. If you tell him, he'll listen. If I tell him, he doesn't listen. Okay, you come back in 1 week and I will tell him." So in 1 week, the lady comes back with her son, and Mahatma Gandhi says, "You should not eat any sweets anymore. You're eating too many sweets. You're going to hurt your liver, this, that. Stop eating all these sweets." So the boy was very, 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 because after all, Mahatma Gandhi had told him. So he took it very seriously and he stopped eating sweets. Then the lady said, "Oh, you go out for a second. I want to talk to him." So she asked Mahatma Gandhi, you spoke so nicely to him and so strongly to him. Why did you ask me to come back in a week, though? You could have done the same thing last week." And Mahatma Gandhi said, "It's because I was eating too many sweets. So I had to stop for a week before I could tell him not to eat sweets. So I cannot tell you not to write in your books, but I don't want you, when your spiritual masters and so many senior devotees, and they say, 'Why are you writing in the books?' You can say, 'Well, Burijan does it,' but you can't say, 'Burijan told me to do it.'" That's the difference.